Well, I can tell already I'm going to need you to pray extra hard for me because I am so excited about this text and I don't want to get in the way of what Jesus Christ wants to say. So I want you to tell me this ancient request that was said of pastors in the past, "Sir, we would see Jesus." I don't want to be the focus today. I don't want to be the one that's really being watched and listened to. We want to see Jesus. And Jesus wants to speak to each and every one of you today. The text we're going to look at is Matthew chapter 24, and it's towards the end of Jesus' life. He's in the city of Jerusalem, and again, he's trying to scare you out of hell. And it's a scary passage, but it's a passage of great hope. It's a passage that tells us how bad things are going to get, and it's also a passage that tells us how good things are going to be. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we would see Jesus. That's our desire this morning. We want to see you, hear you, receive you, respond to you, be men and women who follow you, who give our hearts to you. So we thank you for speaking these words to your initial disciples and speaking them to us. We ask now that you, by the power of your Holy Spirit, would activate your word, cause faith receptors to rise up in us so we could grab a hold of your word. Lord, we invite you to change us from the inside out. Lord, we had the act of baptism this morning where water was used to symbolically wash clean. We pray that that washing by your word would extend to each and every one of us this morning. Change us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew chapter 24. I want you to see with me that it is the worst of times and the best of times. That phrase by Charles Dickinson talked about a tale of two cities, but it's also talking about this last day that we're in. As we move towards the end of the time of the people of God and we move into the end times of our existence and into the times when the kingdom of heaven is breaking forth, it's going to be bad. And it's going to be oh so good. And I want you to prepare yourselves to say yes to God in a new, in a deep, in a profound way. We're going to end this service with a song from the 70s that impacted me. I invite you to let it impact you today. And as I've been thinking about this text and that ancient song, I was thinking about my teenage years, and I want to address the teenagers here today. And those who are listening, that you would allow this old song that was made new recently, allow that song to speak to your heart and to prepare you to say yes to Jesus in a deep, deep way. I want to read a lot of the text this morning because I believe the words of Jesus here are the majority of this morning's sermon. Then I want to bring a few points of application. Matthew chapter 24. Jesus left the temple and was going away when his disciples came to point out to him the buildings of the temple. But he answered them, "You see all these, do you? Truly I say to you, there will not be left one stone upon another that will not be thrown down." As he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, "Tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" And Jesus answered them. And he said, "See that no one leads you astray. For many will come in my name saying, 'I am the Christ.' And they will lead many astray. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not alarmed, for this must take place, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are but the beginnings of the birth pains. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and put you to death.
and you'll be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will fall away and betray one another and hate one another. And many false prophets will arise and lead many astray. And because of this lawlessness will be increased. And the love of many will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. And this gospel, this good news of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations. And then the end will come. So when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by the prophet Daniel standing in the holy place, then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let the one who is on a housetop not go down to take what is in the house. And let the one who is in the field not turn back to take his cloak. And alas for women who are pregnant, for those who are nursing in those days. Pray that your flight may not be in winter or on a Sabbath, for then there will be great tribulation, such as has not been seen from the beginning of the world until now, no, and never will be again. And if those days had not been cut short, no human being would be saved. But for the sake of the elect, those days will be cut short. So if anyone says to you, look, there is the Christ, or there he is, do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will arise and perform great signs and wonders so as to lead astray, if possible, even the elect. See, I have told you beforehand. So if they say to you, look, he is in the wilderness, do not go out. Or if they say, look, he is in the inner room, do not believe it. For as the lightning comes from the east and shines as far as the west, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. Wherever the corpse is, there the vultures will gather. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will fall from the heaven and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then will appear in heaven the sign of the Son of Man, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send out his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect from all the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. From the fig tree, learn a lesson. As soon as its branches become tender and puts out its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also, when you see all these things, you know that he is near. At the very gates, truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. But concerning that day and hour, no one knows, and not even the angels of heaven nor the Son, but the Father only. For as were the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day when Noah entered the ark. And they were unaware until the flood came and swept them all away. So will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two men will be in the field, and one will be taken, and one left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken, and one left. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. We read that long passage of Jesus' words to remind us of some very important things. We are entering into what many call, what Scripture calls, the last days. How long these last days for us will last, we do not know. Only the Father knows. But we are entering into the last days, and the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is closer now than it was when you were born. We don't know if you have a year, 5 years, a month, or an afternoon. We don't know. But we know that things are going on around us. We can see things happening. We can see the things Jesus talked about seeming to unfold. And as we see branches become soft and leaves begin to bud and know that summer is right around the corner, so too when we see these things happening, we know that Jesus is coming, is right around the corner. Yes, it's going to be bad. It's going to be hard. It's going to be the worst of times. What are we going to see? We're going to see deception. We read about there being false Christs and false prophets who will lead many astray. That ought to concern us greatly. Many led astray? That's a horrible word, many. If it had said a few will be led astray, we might have read it without too much shock to our system. But when it says over and over again, the word many being led astray, many falling away, it ought to grip us, alarm us, push us towards Christ. We'll also see in these last days an increase in lawlessness and sensuality. We'll see people are more concerned about breaking the law than following law, more concerned about appeasing their body's desires than honoring the Lord, more concerned about self than others. We see idolatry and irreverence growing as people worship things that are not truly God and as they give their affections and attentions to things that are not truly God. We'll see what's called an antichristism arising. The antichrist will come and people will fall in line with his false teachings and there'll be a spirit of the antichrist that's loosed upon the world and people will follow it. It'll be a delusion that people are sucked into. There'll be persecution. In fact, it'll be that people think they're doing the world good by persecuting the Christians, trying to silence the Christians, trying to remove the Christians. And if you read articles, and if the scholars are right, the amount of persecution against true Christians is greater now than any time in the past. Maybe we don't see deaths in our country like we do in other parts of the world. But there is indeed true persecution happening around the globe. And there'll be a shaking. There'll be wars and rumors of wars, earthquakes, things that are happening that cause people to see that the whole world is trembling. And indeed, these will be the worst of days. Scripture says if it had not been cut short, no one would have survived it. When you read something like that, you need to ask the personal question, will I survive it? Will I be able to endure to the end? It says, he who endures to the end will be saved. Am I going to be in that group or the group that's going under by these things that are coming upon the world? It's going to be a tough time. Knowing it's coming can help you get ready for it. But there's another thing I want to give you this morning to help you get through this time. I want you to hear from me that while this is going to be the worst of times, for those who know Jesus, for those who are in a saving relationship of faith with the Lord Jesus Christ, for those who have turned their back on self and sin and the world and drawn near to Christ, wrapped their arms of love around Christ, it'll also be for you the best of times.
It's not a time to look forward to with only dread. It's a time to look forward to with great anticipation and great hope.
Why will it be the best of times? One reason is that there'll be accelerated power evangelism. There'll be the gospel, the good news of Christ, the story of salvation through the slain Jesus Christ in his resurrection, that will be spread around the world. We read verse 14, which says, "This good news of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come." We are closer to that happening than ever before. About 20 years ago, the term unreached people groups was popular, became popular. Then they refined it a little bit and it became the unengaged, unreached people groups, the UUPG. And people were studying different ethnic groups around the world. They figured there were about 13 to 12,000 different ethnic groups, cultural groups. And 15 years ago, as missionaries were trying to reach these unreached people groups, we were down to 3,500 left. Unreached people groups. 12 years ago, after all the efforts of missionaries around the world, we're down to 1,600 people groups. In the last 12 years from that point on, up to the year 2020, there are only 300 people groups. And in those last 3 years, many, many of those have had the good news brought to them through word, through voice, through missionary, through radio. We're down to just a few unreached people groups. If this text that I just read to us, Matthew 24, 14, is right, it says, "This gospel will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all people groups, and then the end will come." We are so close to that. We are so close to that. Every people group hearing the good news of Christ. As you think about that fact, I'm wondering what role you might play in that. Do we have that picture of the map with the strings reaching up? Put that on the screen. This is a picture that came out of the Asbury Awakening that was happening down in Wilmore, Kentucky. And one of the things, oh, that's hard to see. Ushers, turn off my lights for me. What it is a map, and it's showing Wilmore, Kentucky, where Asbury University is located. And then there's all these strings going out from it, lines going out from it, as people who encountered God, heard God, fell on their face before God, worshipped Him, were then called to go out. And what you can't really see, I recognize, is that these strings are reaching out to every corner of the world, every people group of the world. Maybe that awakening will be used by God to send people to some of the very last of these unreached people groups. Thank you. You can turn the light back on. So the best of times are upon us because we're in a season of accelerated power evangelism. The best of times. There's also another reason why it's the best of times. We're in a season of increased Holy Spirit activation. The Holy Spirit of God is sent by the Father through the Son to fill every one of His believers and not just seal them and cleanse them so they get to heaven one day, but also to empower them to do the will of God on earth today. It's through the Holy Spirit activating inside a person that the will of God is accomplished, His message is spread, and you become part of His kingdom-building army on the earth. One of the most famous verses talking about this is Acts chapter 2, 17 and 18, but it's actually a quotation from one of my favorite prophets, Joel, chapter 2 of the book of Joel. It reads, "And in the last days it shall be that I will pour out my Spirit on all human flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your young men shall see visions. And your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and my female servants, in those days I will pour out my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. They shall speak forth the word of God. They shall hear from God and declare it. They shall take the scriptures and expound upon it. There will be things given to them to speak truth into the lives of lost people around the world. We'll have a season of accelerated Holy Spirit empowerment, and it's breaking forth now. And you're invited to be part of it, and you're invited to celebrate it. You see, this season of accelerated Holy Spirit empowerment or activation is what's going to lead to that first thing that we celebrated, where every unreached people group is told the gospel, here's the gospel, and we see an accelerated power of evangelism. But there's a third thing I want you to be encouraged about. As we move into these last days, there's going to be elevated prayer and hunger for God. Elevated prayer and hunger for God. And again, we had that map up. It came from Asbury University, college and seminary, where these people met for days upon days in a row because they just were hungry for God, worshiping Him, praying to Him, falling on their faces before Him, giving their lives to Him. And people from all over the nation drove there, flew there to participate in it. And what was started there has spread to other universities, other colleges, and other churches, and other nations. My friends in Uganda were... Uganda, I believe I'm correct on which friend it was, talked about the gathering that was taking place there as people were experiencing an awakening. Around the world, people are turning towards Christ. It starts with the church. It starts with the Christians. It starts with those that have been truly saved, that they pursue God with all their hearts, not just casual, oh, thank you, I'll talk to you on Sunday, God, but a wholehearted devotion to God that results in them being activated by the Spirit, being empowered to do evangelism and missionary work. Hunger and power. Elevated prayer. Elevated worship. Consider this Old Testament prophecy from the book of Zechariah, chapter 8. Thus says the Lord of hosts, peoples shall yet come, even the inhabitants of many cities. The inhabitants of one city shall go to another, saying, let us go at once to entreat the favor of the Lord and to seek the Lord of hosts. I myself am going. Many peoples and nations shall come to seek the Lord of hosts in Jerusalem and to entreat the favor of the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, in those days, 10 men from the nations of every tongue shall take hold of the robe of one Jew, saying, let us go with you. We have heard that God is with you. 10 unsaved people grabbing a hold of the hem of one saved person and saying, let us go with you. Let us go with you to meet God. We're entering into a season of heightened, of increased prayer and seeking of the face of Christ. Last night, Lisa and I enjoyed going to the movie Jesus Revolution. Talked about the history of the Jesus movement. It started out in California in the 70s. I highly encourage you to go see it. And as you watch it, I encourage you to be praying this very simple prayer. Do it again, Lord. Because He really already has started that. But as you pray that prayer and say, do it again, Lord, I want you to personalize it. Say, do it again in my life this time. Do it again in my family. Do it again in my community. Come, Lord Jesus Christ, empower upon the people around me so that they're drawn to you, respond to you, can't help but worship you. Do it again, Lord. Go see the movie and let it prompt you to pray for a fresh work of God in your life. There's one more reason why you can look forward to these last days. Not only will it be a season of heightened evangelism and the spread of the gospel around the world, not only will it be a time of Holy Spirit empowerment and activation, not only will it be a season of elevated prayer and hunger for God, but it'll also be a time of optimized church health. Optimize church health. Why is that the case? Because of the temptations, because of the persecutions, because of the things happening in the world that make it the worst of times, many will fall away. You know what's left over? Those with a pure devotion to Christ. This fact terrifies me and encourages me at the same time. The fact that many will fall away is so sad, so heart-wrenching. The fact that what stays behind is pure devotion to Christ and those that are longing for His returning is encouraging. When we see that, when we hear that, we need to ask the question, which group am I in? Am I in the group that when persecution comes, it's going to fall away? Or am I the group that's going to just press into Christ and see His season of great blessing as we come to the end of the age? See, it's a time, both the worst of times and the best of times. It's a time to be alarmed. It's a time to fall on our faces. It's a time to ask the questions, which group am I in? Am I truly a committed follower of the Lord Jesus Christ? I invite you to let this song help you worship. Written by one of the first of the early Christian rock music worshipers. His name's Larry Norman. It was redone recently by a group called DC Talk. Let's dim the front lights and let's listen and read. If you want to sing along, you can do that. If you want to just pray it, do that.
And war, and all of us got trampled on the floor. I wish we'd all been ready. The children died, the days grew cold. A piece of bread could buy a bag of gold. And I wish we'd all been ready. And there's no time. Change your mind. The sun has come and you've been left behind.
My hope is that none of you will be left behind. My hope is that you'll all be ready. Jesus gave these words of Matthew chapter 24 to prepare us for what's to come. Oh, it'll be bad, but it'll be oh so good for those who are ready.